fourth hour of the hashtag post. And you know what? I don't care. Top observation, James Lewis on Twitter. Moan ain't nothing but a grifter.
Come on, man.
You definitely win. You definitely can carry that belt today because that belt is what we originally planned to do with it, and we're going to do it in the fall. Every day, one of the three of us ends up the champ of petty. And that's the pettiest thing I've seen in a while. You, in the words of Pig Vomit from Howard Stern's Private Parts, you have defiled the sanctity of my home.
Dog, this belt is on my shoulder right now. I'm the champ of today and tonight. I'm telling you guys, I crushed that. You doubted me. I know these people. It's cool. It's all right, Jay. You said it out there.
What did Brent Doherty text you as soon as we went to break?
Brent Doherty at 3AGL text me, "You cheated, Moan."
Yeah.
What?
Look, Daniel Day Kim was in Hulk for like 30 seconds, first of all. If you had said lost or Hawaii 5-0, that wouldn't have tipped me off. Because Belzer, I was like, okay, I could see you having what he... It literally, there are only three more people in Special Victims Unit that have more screen time than Richard Belzer. So he was on it a lot, and I could have seen you watching a lot of SVU. Yeah, that's that. I told him to get that because we're about to put you on trial, son. Is it true that you just cheated the birthday segment? Remember, you are under oath. I'll allow it.
No, I knew what I was talking about.
Now you're going to get a perjury charge.
You asked me, did I said I knew what I was talking about. I got it right.
It felt right. Yeah, it feels right if you've already got the answers.
It felt right. Dog, you got the listeners giving me my flowers on Twitter.
I can't believe you cheated.
On friggin' like YouTube chat. I can only... Hey, I won today.
You have the money, Moan. I'm not even going to trust your first pitch because you have the money to put some kind of homing device inside the ball to make sure it goes exactly where you need it to.
I'm like Jax. Like Jax off of Mortal Kombat now. Just use my robo arm to get it there.
Pretty much.
Dog.
I can't believe you.
The amount of hate that I got before I got all the answers right. Zach Bunch calling me a Russian doper after also giving me flowers. Come on, man.
This is Lance Armstrong
birthday
level
gate.
Bat. That's what this is.
Lance, you can't take the money back. He rich as ever now. Live,
hey, hey,
live strong.
Hey, you already got paid. You lied about it. Now you owning it, just like Lance Armstrong.
I got the belt, man. It's cool, guys.
You got to keep the titles.
Hey, it's all right. Your boy did good today.
You were oaf or whatever.
We're going to go Reggie Bush and take that away from you.
Hey, don't get me started on that. This is, hey, belt fits real nice up on my shoulder, man.
Actually, I don't know if that belt actually fits you.
No, it doesn't, but I can throw it over my shoulder.
Some breaking NBA news. Kemba Walker about to sign with the Knicks as he's agreed to a buyout with the Thunder. So there you go. I think there was one other piece of news, but I don't care. Oh, yeah, the Jets signed Josh Johnson.
Also breaking news, Ramon crushed the birthday segment.
Yeah, I knew you were going to go back to it. You need to let it go, Ramon. There's no possible way you didn't cheat.
They hate us.
Lady and the Tramp?
Because they...
Nah, Lady Bird. Greta Gerwig, Moan.
One of them.
If you had just been okay being, you know...
Greta's the name you remember.
You're the dude in Vegas.
If you'd been three for five, you'd have been fine, but you counted cards too much.
Yes.
You got to lose some hands.
You got greedy. You got greedy.
Oh my God, if I'm right, I can't lie about not knowing it. Like, I knew
greedy.
This.
You knew it because you cheated.
Come on, hey.
What's Lady Bird about, Mo?
I know who she is and what she did,
You
Jay.
Just avoided the question.
Like, what did she do? What'd she
do? Like, the segment's over, okay? The segment's over. I won the day. Okay? I won birthdays today. Charles is hype right now.
Oh, but the effect of your cheating will last a lifetime.
This is a stain, man. This is the Astros rolling in to play the Dodgers yesterday.
Said that about Tom Brady. Look at him. We celebrate his seven championships.
Dude waiting for the bus by himself.
Oh, now you're deflected. Now you're deflected. Yeah. Go over here, Houston Astros, and bang on.
We can go back into Zapruder film through the entire thing, and I can just pick apart your acting job.
Oh, Jay, I know
back
this is
into
what
the
you
left.
Do. But you, okay, so the job of me and birthdays is for me to get them right. Did I or did I not get them right?
You're not going to say that your job was never not to cheat?
The devil's in the detail. Who said I did?
That's no, the devil's in that chair wearing red.
You're right just now. The worst right now.
Hey, you're on TV because I'm like, hey. You right. I'm in here doing the people's job, man. They ganging up on me. You right, y'all. Come on, man. Savvy out here in these streets, Jay.
No, you just cheated, Bone. That's not savvy.
You've let down the children.
Just because.
The fam. You're the a father. The fam now feels school. Betrayed by you.
You're a father.
Come on, man. We winners, baby. Nobody get mad at Tom Brady anymore. That's all I'm saying. Astros still got their rings. You feel me? Like, that's what we
are. So you're admitting you cheated because you just compared yourself to the Astros. Saying,
they still get celebrated, and y'all think they cheated.
They get celebrated yesterday.
Oh, they didn't.
Chance at Dodger Stadium, and the guy standing out there with one poster board with an asterisk on it to meet their bus.
They hate us because they ain't us.
What are the chances? I haven't seen anybody say that you've done this legitimately. Not one.
Cousin Mike said I did. Alonzo Wright, yes. Humble Hendersonville.
Cousin Mike
right.
had warrants.
Cousin Mike cheats. Cheating Mike.
Come on, man. I'm out here doing a good deed. Did I or did I not get them right?
Charles Foster said, Ramon is on fire today. I don't know who Charles Foster is.
Shout out to Cuzzo right
says,
there.
Says, great job.
Yeah.
Says, he related to you? Is that why he's carrying water? Or is that you too? Because now you're cheating the YouTube chat and you have a bunch of different names.
I'm waiting for Famone Roster to chime in on this.
Charles Foster.
Famone's been quiet.
You the GOAT, baby. You the GOAT. Me and you.
So sad.
The thing was, I gave you some layups to help you out because I was like, okay, you'll get Billy Bob. You're going to get Meghan Markle. Yeah. You're not going to get Daniel Day, Kim, or Greta Gerwig. Richard Belzer, I would have probably bet against you on that, but I wasn't shocked by that. Oh. If you had just left it alone, honestly, I think Schaaf would have been with you if you hadn't gone with Greta Gerwig.
Yep, I was. I was with you until Greta Gerwig.
Schaaf,
you got
believe?
Greedy.
You know I'm a multifaceted greedy. Guy. Come on now. By the way, Charles Foster's son is a stud.
Yeah, you are a multifaceted man who can't remember ish.
This is just, okay, gang up on my own day. I get it.
You cheated.
I did.
Nobody, you are receiving your just desserts, sir.
Dog.
Jeremy Graham tweets us, 'tis a sad day in the history of the fam and will live in infamy. Ramon has cheated us and the integrity of this beloved segment of this show. A sham, I tell you.
No, the sham was Schaaf giving me a wrong answer and giving me like me thinking I got the wrong answer and giving me a demerit. That was the sham.
No, I demerited myself because I was wrong.
But you gave me the buzzer.
He was defending you, Mo.
At first, until I started crushing it.
I screwed up and gave him the buzzer when he was right with Lady Bird, and I demerited myself. The problem is you're still cheating.
The belt on my shoulder, the championship belt, is heavy, okay, guys? These accusations are just beyond me.
Fostergate.
Cuzzo Mike just said to us on YouTube, you know what, Jay? I don't cheat. I just bootleg sometimes. That's a great line. Who among us?
We got a caller coming up that probably wants to defend me.
No, we got to go to break.
They want
to
defend
me. Well, no.
If it's somebody talking about you, we'll get them on the other side. We got Eric Kane coming up from Knoxville. He's at practice this morning at camp with the Vols. We'll talk about the quarterbacks and everything happening in Knoxville. Maybe a little SEC expansion talk as well. Moan cheated. There's really no other argument here. This is not an opinion. This is fact.
The champ is here.
And you can tell based on the way he's selling this, his arrogance does not stop. He has disgraced the sanctity of our home here on J. Martin and Ramon, and there will be repercussions. We'll be right back. J. Martin and Ramon, 104.5 The Zone.
Such a
poop fest.
Ramon cheated. This song was in Dangerous Minds. It was about troubled kids that we're trying to get off a dark path of crime. And Ramon needs a little bit of Michelle Pfeiffer teaching his class right now. He's copying tests.
Come on. Dog.
Birthday segment, you have defiled the sanctity of our home. You cheated. Everybody knows you cheated. this segment, everybody looks forward to it, to end the third hour every day.
You might have blown our Barbasol. You might have blown our Barbasol sponsorship.
Legit.
I crushed this, man.
Ah, we had somebody who's going to defend you on line one, but then I think we just made our case and he dropped off. Unfortunate.
He said you can't blame Ramon for educating himself before the birthday segment.
Yeah, you can.
Maybe I was just that right.
No, Moan. We bring in Eric Kane from Knoxville. WNML sports animal. Eric, if I said that we do this birthday thing at the end of the third hour every day, and Ramon usually doesn't know a whole lot about movies and all, like in terms of actors and actresses, and I say Greta Gerwig, and he goes Lady Bird. Shenanigans?
I mean, here's the thing. I'm not the best guy to ask about that because the guys get all over me in the morning for not knowing anything about pop culture because all I do is work and watch Braves baseball, according to those guys. So movies, music, celebrities, I'm really, really not your guy. But, you know, Ramon cheating on the birthday thing does not surprise me because, well, you know, it's he's an athlete. Athletes just try to get by, right?
He's a Vol.
He can't. Come on now. You know I'm a man of integrity here.
Shafe, what does VFL stand for?
Vol effing life.
Hey, he is much better. He's much better than the Vol for Life I work with, that's for sure. So I will give you that. Much more of a man of integrity are you, Ramon Foster.
I won today, okay, EK? No. I won today.
That banner's coming down. There's going to be sanctions for what you just pulled off. So what are you seeing out there this morning, Eric?
Yeah, it's good to be out there. First of all, we got to watch 8 periods of practice. I mean, that hadn't happened since I've been alive, I don't think. So that was a whole lot of fun. Everybody wants to know about the quarterbacks. And, man, Joe Milton, he's big. We saw the picture of him yesterday. But, I mean, he's obviously much bigger than all the other quarterbacks. He's got such a quick release. His mechanics are very, very sharp. He does not throw that ball lightly. Yeah, he needs to learn a little touch on the football because he split the numbers on a couple of receivers a couple of times and the ball went straight up in the air after hitting them in the chest plate. But he looked good in day one, and I thought overall pretty much all the quarterbacks looked pretty sharp in day number one. Of course, they're just in helmets, and it's day one, and you know the pressure's not on. But I thought Harrison Bailey threw the ball extremely well today. He probably had the best ball that I've seen that I saw out there so far, a deep post right down the middle. Kind of earlier in practice. So that's a little bit about the quarterbacks, but it's going to be out here. And the numbers look a lot better than they did spring. You can tell that there's been another offseason of conditioning and weightlifting and all that. The team looks pretty good with the eye test so far, but as we know, a lot of that can change whenever the pads get on.
With that eye test, we've kind of heard in the past as far as the O-line and the D-line goes, and yes, I'm going to ask about them, okay? But when it comes to those guys, coaches in the past and their weight room staff have kind of had these guys more leaned than the SEC linemen would prefer. Just those guys, that eye test, are they passing that? Because I used to hear stuff about them looking like basketball players instead of linemen. Like, what is that eyesight looking like for you, or eye test?
Yeah, I mean, the eye test, I think obviously the offensive line looks, you know, bigger and stronger and more like, you know, linemen, if you will, than certainly the defensive line. I think as far as the defensive line, Matthew Butler, he's transformed his body completely. I think he looks lean and super athletic, and that's kind of been a transgression over the last couple of years. And, you know, maybe that'll affect him getting back into the backfield a little quicker and so he can, you know, do some more games out there. But, you know, guys like him, Byron Young is you know, slim, and he's put on some muscle. He looks, you know, pretty good as far as the eye test. He'll be sitting there on the edge. I think Elijah Simmons is a guy that continues to work on his body, and he continues to get strong and drop some bad weight. And, you know, he had a really, really nice spring. Banged up a little bit, but a nice spring. And if he can have a really, really nice camp, then, you know, he could be one of the leaders here on this defensive line that's trying to change that tune under Rodney Garner. But the offensive line, you know, K-Ron Calvert still continues to look good. He's about as healthy as he's been in quite some time. Jarnell Wright, we made note in spring that he looked like he had dropped some pounds, which is good because he was probably a little too big to begin with, and certainly in this offense. So those are some of the things that we're kind of looking at right now. Roman Harrison, you can Denzel, he's been working out a lot, and so yeah, he's trying to come back. He's finally healthy and trying to find a role in this team, whether it be an inside linebacker or maybe on the edge.
One thing, and I saw Joe Rexroder wrote this at The Athletic, and I thought it was an interesting point to make. Certainly Pruitt did not make the Vols very available. He didn't want to talk to the media. Butch was very controlling in that way as well. Heupel seems to be the opposite. When we were there for the orange and white game, he just stood there and talked with all of us like he had nothing else to do, even though obviously he had something else to do. But is there something to be said for just being kind of an everyman that's making this program approachable, that's bringing down the walls, that's taking the arrogance out of things, and it's just making it a much more accommodating atmosphere?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more welcoming, not only for, you know, us in the media, but for the fan base. I mean, look at Tennessee basketball, and I understand it's so much easier to kind of get behind the door with a smaller roster. I get that. Tennessee baseball did a nice job with that, but the last couple of years, we felt like we knew, you know, Grand Admiral and all those guys. And, you know, as far as Tennessee football with the roster the way it is, having these media availabilities, I just feel like it's doing nothing but helping. You're getting a chance to hear from assistant coaches, whereas you would hear from assistant coaches one time a year. We're looking like we're going to hear from coordinators every single week, which is huge. And Josh Heupel, you know, we spoke to him yesterday. We're going to speak to him again here in about an hour. I mean, that back-to-back days, that just hasn't happened. And so it's allowing, you know, you to spread information about your program, a program that right now that's kind of a black eye in terms of the NCAA. You don't know what's coming next. You're coming off a 3-7 season. It's been a punching bag for teams around the SEC, and especially in recruiting. So the more chances you get to invite fans and invite media to tell your story, what you're trying to do here at Tennessee, I just feel like nothing but good can come from that. And so I've enjoyed it, obviously. I like the extra access to watch practice because that's the most important thing, but also to ask more questions and to tell those stories.
So with being able to see everything, it's camp time now. Camp is one of those things where you got to really hone into everything. Is this group of guys like moving fast from drill to drill? Have they gotten to the team portions of it just yet? As far as the whole idea of, man, this is a fast offense and just dealing with everything that comes with it.
Yeah, I mean, Ramon, you know, mistakes are all over the place here. I mean, it's sloppy in terms of they're making mistakes, but they're going full speed. They're running, you know, outside of the drill. They're running from station to station. They are, you know, one guy gets out there, does a rep, the next guy sprints up to the line, and he's ready to go. And I mean, that's what you want your team to always be like, but especially, you know, day number one, because camp, it's here. Whether you like it or not, it's here. The pads come on in a few days. You're practicing pretty much every day. You know, with a couple of off days in there up until September the 2nd, and then it's go time. So, you know, that's what you want to see. That has not kept the coaches from being very motivating, if we want to call it that. Rodney Garner, motivator of the year, if you want to call it that. he probably leads you know, all assistant coaches around the nation in some of these awesome motivating words. But the players love him, and the players react to him, and so you know, that's just kind of part of his game. But no, the energy looks great here. You know, they're even some of the new guys just trying to figure out how the coaches coach, what the expectations are for them at their certain positions. All that will come in time, but you know, the effort is there, and nothing is slow about this offense and about this team, and it looks like it's getting off on the right foot in that regard.
Addison Nichols, that's a huge get for Josh Heupel, considering the competition for his talents, for him to come. That's one of those moments where Heupel definitely puts a feather in his cap right there.
No, he really does. And I feel like, you know, I was talking with Heather Harrington on Sports 180. Now, that might have been the most important recruit for Josh Heupel in this class. Is he the best player in the country? No. He's a top 130 player for Rivals. He's a four-star. He's a solid top 13 player out of the state of Georgia, a really good player. But for what, you know, his ties to Knoxville, his grandparents live in Knoxville. He goes to, you know, Long's Drugstore and has breakfast when he's in town. He's gone to camps and games up on the hill his entire life. So if you were to miss out on a guy like that with the connections here in Knoxville, it would not have been good. So I think it was very important. Plus, he's a tremendous talent. I think he's a guy, and Ramon, I'm sure you've watched the film on it a little bit. Yep. I mean, there's always areas of improvement. He will continue to develop, but out on the edge, he's got really, really nice feet. He's a great pass blocker. He's very strong. He can just, you know, manhandle guys at the level he's at right now. But, you know, getting out in space and getting to the second level, I think he does a really nice job with. And so if you look at some of the recruiting rankings, you know, Tennessee in terms of when they got Addison Nichols, you know, jumped up 5, 6, 7 spots just with that one prospect. And so very important in terms of the blue chip ratio, you know, prospect to class for Tennessee because they didn't have many. But, again, I just feel like it was very important for Heupel not to miss on this one, considering some that he's already missed on. And granted, he's working uphill right now, and just the connections here to Knoxville.
Eric Kane, WNML, the sports animal in Knoxville, joining us here on J. Martin or Mo.
So Tim Banks was asked about what was his base defense going to be like. He said, "I wouldn't tell you if I had one already." Okay, so he's the guy that's. I'm glad to see he's kind of candid like that and just open up about, hey, he's showing some personality, but. They got their hands full when having this type of offense on the other side, man. Just how you see this shaking out with him? What's been response from the guys that you've talked to on the team about him, about his leadership? And like you said, having Rodney Garner is definitely a huge plus to any staff. I don't care if he was coaching friggin' quarterbacks. You want Rodney Garner on your team. But what is Tim Banks doing for this group?
Well, I mean, you got Rodney Garner in front of you. You got Willie Martinez, you know, right beside you. You know, two of the, you know, well-respected coaches around the SEC and certainly around college football. And so he's surrounding himself with good coaches. And, no, I like him too, man. I mean, he's candid. He doesn't sit up there and just say stuff to say stuff. I think he genuinely tries to answer your question and give you something. But mm-hmm. A lot of it he just doesn't have right now. I mean, he's playing with a deck of cards that's kind of stacked against him. Certainly was during spring. It looks a lot better now than it did then. In terms of the numbers and, you know, getting out there and getting some help in the transfer portal. Yeah, it was the first question that was asked to him yesterday. Like, hey, kind of what's your base defense going to be? Because in spring, it looked a lot like what Jeremy Pruitt was doing in terms of the, you know, multiple look and 3-4 base with a star position. But I feel like Tim Banks wants to be a four-man front eventually, kind of transition into that base 4-3, but, you know, more of a 4-2-5 with five defensive backs. So, hey, you know, we don't know yet, and even if we did, I wouldn't tell you. Then he laughs and moves on. But name of the game is going to be multiple. You got to be multiple in this in college football. You got to be able to go up against the spreads like Josh Heupel's, the up-tempos, mm-hmm. and then, you know, the heart and soul of SEC football, you know, high formation. Got to go up against those tight ends, sometimes those fullbacks. You got to be able to adapt, and that's what Tim Banks is wanting to do. I think Tim Banks is a smart guy. I mean, he won't admit it to us, but I feel like he knows Tennessee's defense likely going to give up some points, likely going to give up some yards this year, but it's about playing aggressive. If you can call an aggressive game plan, play complementary football, and create a possession or two more for your offense, I think that is that's going to be a successful unit for Tim Banks this year. So we'll see what we got. But I know a lot of people are excited about Tim Banks, and again, I think that coaching staff on the defensive side of the football is kind of working really, really well together so far in this offseason.
Kaner, what's on your mind as it relates to the quarterbacks other than, because I kept seeing it everywhere yesterday, how large a human being Milton is?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're all confident. You know, Tennessee, and credit to them, you know, we never got to talk to the quarterbacks ever because there's always typically been a quarterback battle. Sometimes if a quarterback played well in one game, we get him afterwards. But Tennessee's not shying away from it, saying, hey, there's four guys that are competing for this spot. We're going to give you all four quarterbacks to talk to on the first day of camp. Now, we probably won't see him again until after the first game, but still, I thought that was pretty cool. But something I picked up on, they're just all confident. All those guys are super confident. I think they respect each other. I think they like each other. But I think that they know that, hey, it's a competition, and I'm here to compete. And I believe in myself. I believe in my abilities. Especially Joe Milton and Harrison Bailey, who were sitting right next to each other, and they essentially kind of said all that, like, hey, I believe it's going to be me. I'm confident in myself, and that's what we're going to do. So I would say the confidence. Talked to Brian Maurer a little bit, and, you know, I knew this coming in, but UCF was his third choice before coming to Tennessee and picking the balls over Ohio State, and then UCF had a prior relationship with Josh Heupel, liked mm-hmm. Josh Heupel a lot. Someone asked, you know, why haven't you transferred? And his response was, hey, now, I love it here. I'm a fighter, and I want to be here. And wow. So I think that's okay. I think that's a great answer. I think that's an awesome answer, and I think that really resonates with the fans. So a little bit like that, something I picked up on, but ultimately I believe those storylines can change as camp goes on and those guys start separating themselves from the rest of the pack.
One thing that we've talked about just on the side off air through text is these commitments that Josh Heupel and his staff are getting. We're sending a bunch of three-star, not a bunch of what Alabama, Penn State, Ohio State is getting four and five stars just stacked up like that. And you got to think, too, as we navigate ourselves through whatever the NCAA got going on and just everything moving forward, with a bunch of these three-stars, they're looking to turn them into starters. They're looking to turn them into foundation guys. Is that what you see them recruiting as? And, of course, you want the four and five stars, and they got a few already, but they're building a base right now is how this recruiting class is coming together.
Yeah, I mean, this is coming from a guy that covers recruiting. You can't buy into the star power. Yes, there are some guys who are four- and five-star rated prospects who turn out to be fantastic football players. That's true. There's some that are bust. There's some two- and three-star rated prospects that turned out to be All-Americans. We just – there's so much – and, Ramon, you know this. Guys, you guys all know this. I mean, there's so much development left to be had a lot of times whenever you're 18 years old and you get to campus. You get in a strength and conditioning program. You learn from coaches that know the game. And so you can't always buy into the hype. And now, has Josh Heupel missed on some guys? He certainly has. That's recruiting. Has he failed to get some guys on campus that he really needed to? Absolutely. You know, right there from the mid-state, Fisher Anderson's a guy, offensive lineman from Franklin County, has come to mind. I mean, he didn't even get Fisher Anderson on campus. I think that was that was not good. But they're finding guys that they like. They're finding guys that fit their scheme and how Josh Heupel wants to play offensively, how Glenn Ellerbe wants to operate on the offensive line, you know, how Brian John Marine and Tim Banks want to play the linebacker position. And like you said, Ramon, they're just kind of building from that. So they've missed on some guys, absolutely. I mean, that's recruiting, but they've also got some guys in here that they truly believe in, that they like, and that, you know, might not be resonating in the eyes of some analysts, but Tennessee likes them, so that's why they took them.
One final thing, Kaner. How do you feel right now about the SEC in terms of expansion with Texas and OU joining? I don't think we've talked to you since that's happened.
You know, for me, I'm all right with it. I mean, I'm not super, super pumped and saying bring it on or anything, but I mean, with kind of having understanding how this is all business and how there's money to be made, I get it. I think it was smart on the SEC to take Oklahoma and Texas because Oklahoma and Texas wanted to leave the Big 12, wanted to be in the SEC because of all that money they could make, but they were going to leave regardless. And so if it wasn't the SEC, then could it have been the Big 10? Could it have been the Pac-12? You know, SEC is smart to jump on those two flagship universities that have rich traditions, that make a lot of money, that have a great fan base and good markets to follow, and bring that in the SEC and add to it. So not just football, too. I mean, men's and women's basketball, Oklahoma softball, Texas baseball. I mean, all around the board, they're going to make already the toughest conference in terms of athletics pretty much universally even that much more. So I like it. I'm intrigued to see if it's going to stop there. I doubt it will. I think it makes more sense to maybe go to a pod system to leave the door open to continuing to add maybe 18, maybe 20 total. Mm-hmm. So you can go to maybe five teams in each pod. So it's interesting. I'm here for it. I'm excited about it. You know, I think it'll be something cool to follow over the next couple of weeks for sure, and then years to see kind of when this stops. And then ultimately what happens to the rest of the Power 5 landscape? What happens to the Big 12? Does it dissolve? Does it link up with the Pac-12? Does the American take over the Big 12? So many questions, so chaotic. I'm here for it, and I'm sure you guys are too.
No doubt. So before we let you go, Locked On Vols, the daily podcast, what do you guys have in store this week?
Yeah, man, I put tons and tons of audio from Media Day yesterday on the episode that's there right now. Josh Heupel, Alex Golish, Tim Banks. We'll get some player audio in there today. But pretty much just, hey, camp's here. What am I seeing? Who's where? Who's looking good? Just really breaking down Tennessee football camp. That's what the people want to know. So that's what we're talking about on Locked On Vols.
Always a pleasure, Eric. Absolutely. We appreciate you, brother.
Guys, I appreciate you. Thanks so much.
Indeed. That's Eric Cain, Sports Radio WNML. He is at underscore Cainer, C-A-I-N-E-R. Speaking of Cain, I noticed this morning. Cain's is coming. Raising Cain's.
Raising Cain's.
Coming to West Nashville. Whitebridge, I think, is where they're going to put their first location.
What ain't coming to Nashville?
Arteries everywhere around the city are like shaking in their boots right now.
Can I ask a question? I don't know what that is.
Raising Cane's?
No.
It's a chicken. It's kind of like Zaxby's.
Chicken, Zaxby's.
Kind of a Zaxby's. Chicken spice. Really popular.
I had a Zaxby's salad the other day for the first time.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Salad with a Z, baby.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Ain't it?
Yeah.
Fried or grilled?
I went with fried this time.
Okay.
I thought you were going to say none of your business.
So I saw it again.
VFL. Moan, I'm still not happy with you, Moan. VFL. Don't try to butter up to me.
That Vol effing lied.
That's VFL.
You that's cheated, Moan.
They hate us because they ain't us.
Right. We low do things blow. Legitimately and above board here, unlike you at Tennessee. Doesn't even need McDonald's bags.
You know what? I got a championship belt.
You got movie and television names in that Dunkin' Donuts bag over there on the refrigerator. All right.
Full disclosure, that actually is your championship belt because you paid for it.
Yeah, right.
Oh,
you bought it.
That's ours. We're a gang here,
it's
man.
It's like a self-nickname when
no
you carry
separation
that.
Around here, man. We do it for the gang. Except and the gang cheat. Won today except for birthdays.
Cheat. Is that what Pittsburgh taught you?
What?
Coach Tomlin teach you that? You basically tripped the gunner on the way down the sideline.
We do not care.
I didn't play for New England.
It was your coach that tripped somebody.
He got fined for that. He was guilty.
Yes, he did. Yeah, he did because he
said his kid's Christmas was short that year. $100,000.
Was it $100K?
That was $100.
He earned it.
He did.
I like Mike Tomlin, but he earned it. We'll be back to put a bow on this program. Inky Johnson, midweek motivation. You won't want to miss that. Moan needs it desperately. When we come back, Jay Martin and Moan, 104.5 The Zone. Love it. Jay Martin and Moan, 104.5 The Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. My thanks to Eric Kane, to Brad Willis, to Rhett Bryan for joining us. All guests appear to the Mark Spain Real Estate Hotline, unless they're in the room, in which case they are sponsored by Barbasol.
Sending us hats, man, because I crush them.
We're going to wear them, too.
I've also asked for product that we can put on the YouTube stream.
There it is.
Hey, look at you working out here.
Yeah, somebody has to work and not cheat. At Ramon Foster, at Schaefer on Sports, at JMart Radio, at JMart and Ramon.
We crushed today.
Yeah, you cheated, brother.
Hump day.
You cheated.
I got us over the hump, man.
You blew it!
You cheated. If you missed the birthday segment at the end of the third hour, go podcast it wherever you get your podcast, JMart and Ramon. Go through it like the Zapruder film, and you will see back and to the left.
Still hurt you by came
back and to the left.
You saw my cliff notes over here, Jay. It was
Moan, this is all I have to say, and I tweeted this out, but this makes the case. You didn't know who Harrison Ford was.
It wasn't my. Yes, I did.
You didn't know who Christopher Nolan was.
He's a director.
And your teammates were in one of his movies. Yeah.
I didn't look at the credits to see that he made the movie.
You even
you
knew
don't
Christopher,
need to see the credits.
You even knew Christopher Nolan's boss on that
Thomas,
movie.
Yeah. You know what? We're going to get Thomas on here for birthday
I told you I want to talk to him.
Let me hit up
I want to have a conversation
Cam,
with him.
Right now.
I don't know how many ones that I've been so disappointed that you have not known. Like huge names.
Mm.
But Greta Gerwig, you're ready to fire.
And
false.
When I know.
Liar.
I know. Okay.
Phony.
I answered those real quick. That was solid.
Yeah, you answered them real quick because you had already.
Okay. Answer me this. Were they right? Yes, they were.
They should be because you cheated.
Yeah.
They hate us because they ain't us.
Ain't us, Ramon.
Yeah, let's enunciate those two words.
Put a T in there.
Let's enunciate those words a little close. Like early on, remember, I was coached. Don't say J Mart Ramon because it sounds like J Martin Ramon. So now it's J Mart and Ramon. Like I try to separate it just a half second.
Yeah.
Make sure you say ain't us because ain't us doesn't work quite as well.
It's like what's it's like
depending on what it is you're looking for,
it's
I guess.
Like the kid game. What's your favorite game? What's your favorite planet? Uranus.
Legitimately some turd stuff right there.
Do not want to be half butt.
Hey, man. We saw the guy on Twitter with Let's Talk Sports. So, Jason, what did you think about that swing last night? Talk sports guy. Talk to him.
My wife just sent me a picture of my dog's rear end. Forgot about that one.
Talk sports guy.
That was the first time I went home and Abby over dinner was like, do we have to talk about those things on the radio? I was like, it's my dog.
Talk sports, Abby.
Like I'm disrespecting Margo.
Like, come on, man.
Moan's going to throw out the first pitch tonight. We'll compare it to what I did. Mine at least got there, so that's really just the bar. Just get there. Don't embarrass us, Moan. We're all counting on you.
Yours went left, though. Yours went left.
Yeah, no, I said it was a little outside. Okay. I'm just saying, don't embarrass us. That's really all I'm saying here.
Yeah. I'm seriously working on getting Thomas Toll on before the birthday segment.
I'm looking forward to it.
And that'll be a good conversation.
I'm very much looking forward to a conversation.
Talk sports
like that.
Guy. Yes, you would talk about talk sports. Talk to, never mind.
Talk to these mitts. Is that what you're trying to go?
Talk to that bucket of water we got in the office back there.
So, Inky. Oh, okay. We're going to go to Inky, but we'll do that in just a second. Bob's on line one. What's up, Bob? Bob, you with us?
Yeah. How's everybody?
We're good.
Good morning.
Okay. I just want to tell everybody, quit hating on Ramon because he educated himself.
Thank you.
You don't hate on students when they study for a test and pass.
See, you get it.
Yeah, but you can't have the answers out during the test.
Where was the answers at?
On there.
You didn't see?
That's because you got them off the screen.
They hate us because they isn't us.
Okay, that's that's a little safer.
You know where I was going with that.
That's a little safer. So Inky was a bit busy, so he sent us
or
a midweek motivation. Or embarrassed because he knows you cheated and he's reassessing everything about our relationship. So here is your midweek motivation to send you out. Moan, listen to every word of this closely. You need it. We'll see you tomorrow, and we'll recap whatever it is Moan does with the first pitch tonight and all the regular shenanigans and occasional sports. For Moan Foster, Jonathan Schaefer, I'm Jason Martin. Here's Inc.
I want to share a story with you all about two gentlemen that crushed it in business. Did very well financially, crushed it. They got toward the latter years of their life, they became terminally ill, they put them in a facility to die. So they're in this facility every single day, they have a little time to where they could come out, play games, eat food, drink some water, just have a big time. And two of the gentlemen, they hit it off, like they became big buddies. So they asked the nurse, they said, "Nurse, can you put me and my guy in the same room? Like, we hit it off, that's my guy." She said, "Sure." And so she put them in the same room, and so every single day, one guy's bed was to my left, your right, one guy's bed was to my right, your left. And so every single day, nurse would bring him food, bring him something to drink. They would eat, they would drink. And the guy to my left, your right, his bed was by a window. And so his buddy on the opposite side would always say, "Hey man, tell me what you see out that window." His buddy would look up, he would say, "Man, you know, I see a beautiful skyline. Man, I see beautiful children running, playing, beautiful married couples walking, holding hands, beautiful flowers." His buddy would say, "Man, thank you so much. Really helped me. You know, we're about to die here." One day, nurse came in, got with the bed by the window, was about gone. Ended up passing away. He died. She prepped him. She took him out of the room. As she's taking him out, buddy on the opposite side said, "Hey, nurse, can you do me one favor?" She said, "Yes, what is it?" "Whenever you put my guy wherever you got to put him, will you please come back and move my bed by that window? I want the opportunity to look out of that window and see what my guy used to tell me about. It really helped me with my situation." She said, "Sure." She came back. About 2 days later, she moved his bed by the window, brought him something to eat, something to drink. He got the strength, he lifted himself up. He looked out of that same window, and the only thing he saw was a big brick wall. He started yelling, screaming, "Nurse, nurse, can you come in?" Nurse came in, "What is it?" He said, "You remember my guy, right?" She said, "Of course." He said, "You should tell me about all these beautiful things. Like, can we please get this big brick wall removed? That really helped me in my situation." She looked at him, and she said, "You didn't know, huh?" He said, "No, ma'am, no what?" She said, "You really didn't know." He said, "No, ma'am, no what?" She said, "He was blind." She said, "He couldn't have seen that even if he wanted to." She said, "You didn't know every day he did it because he knew it brought you joy. So every day he did it because he knew it brought you happiness. Every day he did it because he knew it helped you with your situation. He's about to die himself, but you had a blind guy that looked out of a window and painted a picture that he couldn't even see because he knew it served as a blessing to someone else. And so as I leave you today, I have to pose the question, why do we really do what we do and where is it taking us? Like, what's the GPS destination on the end of our decisions and our choices every single day? Like, what is it really about? Because I think we all know when the rubber meets the road, when it's all said and done, like, it's not about who got the best car. It's not about who got the biggest house. It's not about who stays in this neighborhood. It's not about who I know, who you, it's not about any of that. When the rubber meets the road, it's about two things. It's about who we become, and it's about what we give. And I don't know about you, but when my time comes, I don't want to be forgotten. I want to be remembered.